Today our Bible study is entitled Making the Lampstand, taken from Exodus chapter 37 verses 17 to 24 and Exodus 25 verses 31 to 40. The lampstand is one of the three furniture in the holy place. It is a place of communion just outside the throne of God. So if you were to look at the picture here, you would see inside the veil, you see the cherubims there. Inside the veil is the throne of God. And outside is what we call the holy place, inside the most holy place or the holy of holies. And outside the holy place with three furnitures, and you see that the priests are only allowed inside, and it is a place of communion with God. It is a place of fellowship with God, and the priests were representing the people on behalf of the people. Today in the New Covenant, we are a royal priesthood. Peter writes, we are the priests of God. We have that privilege of communion with God. We have that privilege to enter from the holy place, even into the holy of holies, right to the throne room of God, in order to commune with Him, in order to fellowship with Him, in order to enjoy the privileges as the people of God. And today we are going to talk about the second of the three furniture that was inside the holy place. You remember last week we spoke about the table, the pure table, the table of showbread, in which there were 12 loaves. Each of the loaves were given by each one of the tribe of Israel weekly, so that the priest would put it there. What is the purpose of that? Well, it is to signify that God is the one who provided for the people of Israel. And they are not to forget that He is indeed their bread of life. And the people were to dedicate and bring these in order to remember. You see, we are very forgetful people. We can go about doing our own things, so much so that we forget that life has its source, and purpose in life has its source. And the God, the maker of heaven, sometimes would jot us. Suddenly we realize that, hey, what is happening in life? Well, if you are a child of God, you'll find that God would want to speak to us, to align our life to His will, to align our life to His purpose. And so certain times of our life, well, God allowed us to go through a time where, well, we sought Him more closely. And usually it is during times of affliction that God allow us to go through. And it is during these times of affliction that we draw closer to God. God causes us to want to seek to know His will for us. And you see that there is that need to draw close to God in communion with God. This is not like, you know, Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh, when Moses went in to ask him to let the people go, he was reluctant. And when the plagues came, he became frightened. And you remember that when God sent the boils, suddenly God asked Moses, throw the incense and into the air, and suddenly it break out into boils. All the people in Israel, in Egypt, began to experience boils on their body. And Pharaoh said that, yes, we have sinned. We have sinned against God. and we would let the people go. But as soon as God removed the plague from them, Pharaoh hardened his heart again. So his repentance, his coming back to God was not real, you see. His acknowledgement of God is not real. But for us who are God's children, He wants us to have that close fellowship and communion with Him. And so in the tabernacle, when God asked Israel to make a visible presence or physical tent in order to in order that He may manifest His physical presence with them, to show them that they are not alone in their walk, but God is with them. You see, God is invisible. He is the God of heaven who created all things. But because He's not so visible to us, when we are faced with afflictions, it is easy for us to be in despair. Right? It is easy for us to murmur. It is easy for us to complain. It is easy for us to choose to wallow in our sorrow in order to to say that God, you said that you will take care of me, but where are you? We have that kind of a tendency to not trust God, and you know, even in our departure from Him, we still insist that we are all right. But here you find that God did not want His own people to live like that. And therefore, when they came out of Egypt, when they have the idols of Egypt has been ripped off, straight away God instructed them to build a tabernacle, to build an altar, in other words, so that His presence, or so that He can be worshipped by His people, so that the people would know where to seek Him, where to find help in times of need. So the tabernacle was built while they were in the wilderness, and we said that while they are inside, while they look in, they saw the presence of God, right? The candle, the lamp is to be lighted all the time, so that there would be a visible light that the priest would be able to see as signifying the presence of God with them. And we thank the Lord that that there is this visible picture of communion that the Lord instructed Israel to build in the wilderness in order to help them to see the presence of God in their lives, so that they would not be in despair, so that they would not be perplexed. Now, certain situations in life can cause us to become very perplexed, because we cannot explain what happened. We cannot explain why. We don't know why. God doesn't give any reasons. And therefore, in that state of perplexity, in that state of trouble, and in the state of distress, what would be our response? Well, for the Apostle Paul, you find that after his conversion, God gave him a very close walk with the Lord, so that His close walk enabled him to be able, moment by moment, to receive a lot of assurances from God as to what is His will, as to what He is doing in every stage of the apostle's life. We were studying the book of 2 Corinthians in our devotion, and he was writing to the church in Corinth to share with them how life, how for them it was such a difficult matter to be able to be there in Corinth to minister to the people, because there was so much persecutions in the way. There was so much resistance to build up a congregation And he said that they were troubled on every side. They were distressed. They were perplexed. They didn't know what hit them oftentimes. But they knew that the Lord was with them. Jesus himself appeared to Paul to let him know in the night that, you know, I have many people in this city. You continue to remain here. Don't be discouraged, because a mighty work is going to be accomplished for the Lord. So what was that witness? Well, that witness was the beginning of the church in Corinth. God is going to call out a group of people out of the idolatrous city of Corinth to be separated from all the idols, to become a people worshipping the living and true God. That's what is happening for us, right? Ourselves, our relatives, we have gone to someone's home in our midst, and how the idols were taken out maybe about a year back, 1.5 years back. We took out all the paraphernalia in the worship, took them all out and discarded all of them, and then the home is repopulated with the things of God. We brought a hymn book with Bible. There is a need for a change. So God took Israel out of Egypt in order that they may serve the living and true God. And the tabernacle was built in order that the people of God may know how to find help, how to find hope, how to find purpose for their lives. God is going to make Israel to be a nation whereby they will be a reflection of His glory to the heathen world. And for us too, why do we assemble for Bible study? Why do we assemble? Why do we gather for worship on Sunday? Why do we have to gather on Wednesday night to pray? Well, because we are a people of God. We are people that God has called out to be a separate people for Himself, and whereby His power is manifested within us as we seek to accomplish His will in our lives. And so He gathered this group of believers in Corinth. He gathered this group of Israelites in the wilderness. In the book of Acts, the church, the people in Israel were called the church in the wilderness. And so God is establishing worship. And in the establishing of worship, God is giving them a visible picture of His communion with them. So the tabernacle was a picture of the presence of God. And you will see it's signifying the presence of God with His people. And they would see by day, a pillar of cloud, by night, a pillar of fire. God was there visibly with them to help them to see and know that He is the one sustaining them. He is the one keeping them. And that's why they will ask each tribe to bring a loaf of bread representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel into the tabernacle once a week, and the priest is supposed to eat, representing the people in that communion with God. So in our New Testament, our communion with God is in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a meal that seals the new covenant. So Jesus, before His passion, before His suffering, before He went to the cross, He instituted the Lord's Supper so that the people of God may be able to, in the new covenant, partake, be a part of Christ in remembering what He had done for them. And if you think about the Lord's Supper, what do we do when we go there? When we partake the Lord's Supper, each time we have it once a month. Before that, we would take time to prepare our hearts. We'll take time to examine ourselves. We'll take time to confess our sins. We take time to make right with God. And you see that, you know, in the whole tabernacle structure, later on you see outside the tabernacle would be the altar where the sacrifice would be made. Right? After the blood sacrifice is made, the animal killed, and that's where the priest is able, right, by the blood, by the cleansing, come to the presence of God. So it is the same for us. Right? Christ had on the cross completed the work of atonement. We are justified in Him once for all. And this remembrance feast of the Lord's Supper is for us to be re-energized again, to be reconsecrated again. Right? Along the way, we may have done wrong. Along the way, we may have backslided. Along the way, we may have, walked our own way. And God instituted a time where His church would be gathered together again, whereby we can examine ourselves and we can take time to be with God, to make right with God. And so you would see the picture of that communion. Right? And today we are going to talk about a little bit more about that communion in terms of the lampstand or that was made in the holy place itself, in the holy place itself, in order to be a light that would shine perpetually, so that the priest is able to go about doing all the work of the communion in the holy place with God. So what was this lamb that was made? Well, we would like to look at the structure of it. You see in verse 17 of Exodus 37, and He made the candlestick of pure gold, of bitten work made He the candlestick. His shaft, His branch, His bowls, His knobs, His flowers were of the same. And the lampstand is made of pure gold. One talent of pure gold. About 40 kg. Imagine a very big piece. All the other furnitures until now we have seen are lined with wood and plated with gold. Right? The Ark of the Covenant made of shittim wood, then lined with gold. The table was the same. Made of shittim wood lined with gold. But the lampstand is made fully of gold. And it is not like, you know, the golden calf. You remember the golden calf? They put the calf was made out of a mold. Okay? Came out of a mold after they melt the gold. But here, this candlestick is made up of bitten gold. What it means is that the workman has to be very skillful and to hammer and the structure into its shape. Wow, so it takes a lot of skill, right? A whole big piece of gold, one talent, 40 kg piece of gold, like today at price of $1,300, this piece would cost $1.5 million. Well, a very big piece of furniture that was to be made. And you know, I have this book here that tells us the seven branched golden lampstand was a prized possession when Titus came, the general of the Roman army, when they came to raid Jerusalem in AD 70, they took away the golden candlestick. And here I have a picture, right, how it was depicted and drawn. The golden candlestick was a very prized possession, a very prized possession when it was taken away out of Israel to Rome. It was a judgment against the people of God because they have departed from God. What is the use of all the acts of worship when the heart is not there? When we worship God, we must worship Him with a sincere heart. Right? When you come for Bible study, what is the reason for your coming to the Bible study? Because you want to learn God's Word. You want to seek God. Right? There is a sincere heart to seek. If not, it's no use, right? We are wasting time. We shouldn't be. God wants us to seek Him with a true heart. And that is what we seek to do here in our Bible study, right? To get to know Him. And so this lampstand, right, was made of beaten gold, right? 1 talent of weight. A.W. Pink, he says, wrought upon by the hammers of skilled workmen until it was shaped into a beautiful and symmetrical form. Only by divinely given wisdom could they evolve from a solid talent of gold this richly ornamented vessel with base, shaft and branches in consistent proportions. And so you see that each stem consists of the lampstand, right, consists of seven stands, right? One in the middle and 3 branches at the 2 sides, and all made of pure gold, with it. You see that they are to beat on it the almond fruit, almond bud. That's the meaning of the knob, right? The flowers and the flowers. Right? It's interesting that the almond is the first of all trees in Palestine to bud. It buds in the month of January, this month. So it's early springtime in January, and you would see the almond tree budding. And you would see also, right, that a symbol of life, in other words, a symbol of life, right, from the bud to the fruit. Yeah, recently we bought a little plant. Right? A daughter bought a little plant with a leaf. It's supposed to be a ginseng plant I got from the school. And so after coming back, we saw all the leaves are all closed up. But after we water, we were told to put it in the sun. We put it in the sun. Then suddenly you say, hey, how come all the leaves all livened up? And then you see the flowers start to form itself. Right? One morning we woke up and we saw, hey, purple flowers. So interesting. Small plant. Right? Well, when they carved all this in, it is to signify, symbolize life itself. Right? You see that the candlestick would be, the lampstand would be lighted. They are going to put pure olive oil into the bowls, and then they are going to light it perpetually. If you look at Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, it was given a vision. to Zechariah when Israel was building the second temple after after the first temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. They were exiled for 70 years in Babylon, and God brought them back again, and they were supposed to rebuild the temple. Rebuild the temple. But the people who came back, because of the poor economic situation, they were not building the temple. What was the meaning of building the temple? Well, building the temple was the building of their spiritual life, you see. Their life with God, their worship with God. Instead, what the people were doing, they were running off doing their own things. And God had to send the prophet Haggai to come and to say to the people, consider your ways. You have done all, you seem to be going about so busy with your work, and yet, you know, out of all the work, it has brought little. The Lord said, wrote to say that, you know, the wind blew and all that they have received out of their labor were blown away. And all that they have received, put inside their pocket, you know, is like putting into the pocket filled with holes. And so whatever they tried to accumulate at the expense of God and His kingdom, God and His house, were all blown away. They have not sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and therefore all the things were not added to them, you see. So the people of God had to learn, and God gave eight visions to Zechariah in order to encourage the people to come back and build. And indeed the people came back, and God showed them the future of Jerusalem after the temple was built, how Israel would thrive again as a nation, to reflect God to all the nations of the world. And Zechariah 4 gives to us this picture in this fifth vision to the returnees. Their mission was to rebuild the temple so that worship in Israel can be reinstituted. And Zerubbabel, the governor, was given the mandate by God to rebuild the temple. And the fifth vision of Zechariah was meant to help the builders to be laborers with God and not rely on their own strength. I read to you Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. And the angel that talked with me came again. That's page 6 of your notes, page 6, right in the middle. What seest thou? And I said, I looked, and behold, a candlestick of all of gold, and a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, seven pipes to the seven lamps which are on top of it thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and said unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah was asleep when he was awakened by the interpreting angel. The angel was nudging him to rehearse what he saw. Zechariah saw a candlestick of gold with a bowl on the top, having seven lamps, and each lamp furnished with seven feeding tubes, and the two olive trees standing beside. They were supplying the oil that is needed. So from the two crowded branches, the clustering olives were poured a constant supply of golden colored oil into tubes that led into the bowl. And this makes the lamps self-sustaining. And so the prophet Zechariah inquired about the meaning of this vision. And after some delay, he was told it was conveyed the truth that in carrying out the work of the rebuilding of the temple, it is not by human power, but by the strength of God. The delay was heightened by the curiosity of the inquirer. This is a picture of the source of strength for Christian service. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We have to pray. We have to take time to be in the presence of God, to wait upon God, to be filled with the Spirit of God, in order that we may know how to do the things of God. Right? What did Christ ask the church to do before His ascension? He asked them to gather in the upper room to pray. What was the purpose? So that the promise of the Holy Spirit may come to fill them for service, to fill them with the wisdom what they are to do. And unless the Spirit of God would come and fill them, they would be doing their own things by their own wisdom, by their own understanding, and you'll find that it would not be profitable. And so the people of God were told, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power is likened to the oil that flows to keep the lights of the candlestick burning. Israel is to depend on God for wisdom and strength to be His witness. So you find that when Israel was asked to build the candlestick, the seven pronged lampstand, and they were instructed to ensure, the priest is to ensure that the light is on all the time. It describes that communion of God with His people, right? That we are to be in that dependence, that communion all the time, and that light is to be, to continue to be on. That light is continue to reflect itself, right, as a witness. So in the book of Revelation, the seven churches in Asia Minor were depicted as the seven golden candlesticks. Revelation 1 verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And the warning to the church at Ephesus is to repent, for she had lost the first love. And the indictment to come is that God will remove their witness if they do not turn back to God. Revelation 2 verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So the instruction is to retrace our steps back to where we have sidestepped from the law of God and make right with God. 1 John 1 verse 5 to 10 says, This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The priest's work in the holy place was to ensure that the lamp was continually burning. It speaks of Israel's responsibility to keep close to God so that He may continually guide them. And it's interesting to note that when the priests failed in their duty, it would interrupt their communion with God. The light, once snuffed out, would mean that the holy place would experience darkness, and the priests would not be able to do their duty of offering incense and the work of changing of the showbread. So the work of the priest in the holy place would keep the communion with God open and thriving. And the offering of the incense, the changing of the showbread, the light needful to ensure that the work is performed, coming from the lampstand, this will continue. And they were in the wilderness, right? Inside, when they look in, the light. When they look out, it's darkness, barrenness, wilderness, frightening. Right? But within is the presence of God to protect, to persevere and to prosper them in their ways. So they need to keep up with the communion so that wisdom can be appropriated in their lives. So we said that, you know, we are not spiritual camels, right? A camel can store a great amount of nutrition for a long time and and can sustain itself for a long time. But we are like a hut. The psalmist described himself like a little deer, right, without resources. So all the time needing to come to the find a spring in the wilderness in order to nourish itself. This is our spiritual life. You can't go on long time without reading the Word of God, without Bible study, without prayer. That is not the life with God. So here the Lord wants us to build our spiritual life in order to build the life of others that is around us. So if you are a head of the family, you would be not only building your own spiritual life, and that comes first, then also the spiritual life of the members in your family. They all would depend on you, right, for spiritual guidance, direction, in the sense to pray for them. Right? If you are a parent, you find that you have certain responsibility. Right? You are a brother and sister. You have a certain responsibility to help your brother, help your sister. Right? So the sister here called up, my brother is having operation this afternoon. Please pray for him. Important operation of the eye. Yeah, that is what is needed. Right? If the people of God would not seek God's way, right, to help the people around them, then you'll find that everyone doing their own things, going their own way, there will be a lot of missteps. There will be a lot of misery. And it is sad. God doesn't want us to carry on like that. We must not carry on like that. So we do so by drawing close to Him through prayer and the study of God's Word. God's Word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. We need to continually set time to study God's Word, to allow the light of God's Word to shine and guide us in the pathways of life. So I ask you, how is your devotional life? Is it thriving or is it wanting? Is it haphazard or is it consistent? By coming for Bible study and prayer meeting, we endeavor to keep the communication channel with God open. Right? You see, you find sometimes, you know, on your own, very difficult. Why did God command that His people would come together to pray, come together to worship? Because we may encourage, admonish, help one another, support one another, strengthen one another. Right? So the gathering itself, sometimes you find so tough to travel, to change, to prepare, to come. But you find that all this God has made available in order that we may spiritually be nourished. Now, why do we have our Bible study on midweek? Well, because we need to, by Wednesday usually, you have many prayer items coming in. Monday, Tuesday, by Wednesday, you will see that, wow, various members of the family, various ones are facing some level of crisis in their lives, facing some level of difficulties. And we all have gone through, right, after all this time of gathering, right? One time, this time is your turn, next time is my turn. Everyone, you know, requiring help. At the throne of grace, everyone needing God. And so the gathering of God's people is in order that we may strengthen one another, encourage one another, help one another, pray one for another. And this is the spiritual means by which the people of God is able, right, to be an influence, right, for eternity. And so as we gather, right, we are the priest. You, in Jesus Christ, is able to access the throne room of God. You, in Jesus Christ, is able to pray for the people of God. Each one of you, special priest in the sight of God. And will you exercise your responsibility? You are to pray for your family. You are to pray for so many. Why is it that there's this crisis going on here and there? Well, because God wants us to draw near to Him, right, to seek His wisdom. And you find that, yeah, God is able by His power, right, to solve the problems that are around. And then you will see, how come, wow, miraculously, right, God had been there with us again to help us. So realize the great privilege we have to come to the house of prayer, to keep the candlestick burning in this church.